The Way of Will John.
Welcome back to the Way of Will John podcast, my friends. I'm your host, Will John. Today is a very special You're Not Thor podcast where professional footballer destroys chess grandmaster. It wasn't close. Roll the clips.
Let's start with...
Hey, you play soccer this slowly? Don't give up soccer. Don't do it. You know what my two favorite words are?
What's that?
Check.
No. And don't yet. Say it. Yeah, he destroyed me, and it wasn't close at all. And he talks a lot of trash, and so do I. It makes for very entertaining games. We played two. I had him on the ropes in the second one. He won't admit it, but honestly, he was starting to sweat. So... he got away with one. We probably should have drew at least. Okay. Anyway, no. Seriously, it was incredible to play the guy and to meet the guy. One of the things and one of the reasons we have this podcast here on the 11th Commandment, and specifically You're Not Thor, where we challenge ourselves to do things that are normally impossible in order to learn something from people who are specialized, who are excellent in their fields, that are excelling in their fields, because you can learn a lot from people. You can learn a lot from anyone, but especially these people who are at the level of grandmaster and what sort of critical thinking and thought, you know, goes into all of that. So to know why this guy has excelled and is excelling for so many years, we need to know the backstory. So check that out. You're a grandmaster. You play chess. How did that happen? And what does that mean?
Yeah, my story is different than most people because I was born into a chess family. So my dad was a chess master, and he played a famous game with Bobby Fischer in 1963, which you can look up if you want. And he taught me and my brother. I have an older brother, 3 years older than me. He taught us how to play chess and took us to chess competitions. So we were immersed in chess. My brother became a master also, and my son is a master. So we're just like the first chess family of Michigan, they called us, because I was brought up in Detroit. And a lot of people learn chess sort of as an accident. Like, some people told me they were in the hospital because they broke their leg and their grandmother brought them a chess set to pass the time and they like chess. But yeah, I was just in a chess family. So
okay.
I always had chess in my family growing up, and I started playing in rated tournaments when I was 5. And we would go to chess clubs a lot and look at chess at home.
When you were 5?
So I was lucky. Yeah.
Okay. So this is a guy just like me who was immersed in the sport from a very young age and then fell in love with it. And a lot of new people are coming into the chess world because of Queen's Gambit, which was hugely and widely popular. So I asked him his thoughts on that.
I didn't learn a lot about chess, but I learned a lot about taking drugs. So that's important.
There's so much.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. Yeah. I mean, it's not supposed to be true to life, but a lot of it was true to life. And they had some chess advisors. Bruce Pandolfini, who was one of the advisors, was actually in the movie. And Kasparov was one of the advisors. And he claims today, he still claims that they offered him the role of the world champion at the end that she beats.
But
he declined so they could have an actor do it. So I don't know if he was offered that, but okay. He says he was.
Okay.
But yeah, they had chess people, you know, helping out. And I really liked the mini, you know, whatever it was, mini. I guess they're making another one. That's what I heard. They're
making two. They are. It was too successful.
Yeah. You got to make more money. The search for more money.
Exactly.
So yeah, I really enjoyed it because it was really well filmed and really well acted. And a lot of it is true to life. And a lot of it is, you know, just for the show.
Now we start getting to the grit of things, which is how good can one actually get? And this is where all this stuff starts applying to football, the rest of your life, figuring out what it is that you can do and how you can do things and your potential, tapping into your potential. So this is really cool to figure out how he thinks about these things.
It depends on how much you're playing and how interested you are in getting better. So if you play once a week, you won't get much better. If you play every day, which some people do, sometimes for hours, and you're interested in getting better, you can get a lot better.
A lot better, a lot.
Really quick. Because if you play a lot on the internet, you know, it used to be when I was a kid and there was no internet, it was hard to play chess.
Right.
I mean, I had chess in my family, so it wasn't hard for me, but the chess club was once a week. If you had a chess club, And then tournaments, you had to go really far away to play in them. Now you can play 24 hours a day. Yeah. So you can get better more quickly. Okay. But yeah, you could be a very reasonable player in 6 months if you put your mind to it, played a lot, studied. And that's just all of it is how much you do.
I mean,
it's not
agreed.
Necessarily innate talent. It's how much work you put into it.
So what this means is you can get better at anything at any time, as long as you know what you're doing and you don't have to cheat, which is, of course, where we're going next, because I want to know who's juicing. Could you just imagine this? There's never been like a jacked, steroid ingested, just testosterone filled chess champion, right? Steroids make your brain better. They don't test that. I don't think they test that. You only test how much faster you can run, how much bigger. Anyway, the point is, I asked them if chess players are juicing somehow.
You can argue whether some things help you play better chess or not, but it hasn't been shown in practice that anybody really good uses any kind of, you know, drugs to play better. Because that's
really, but you know, that's gotta be, you know, there has got to be there's got to be a market for that, some sort of market for that. And I can't imagine that, like, if you get hopped up on caffeine, you would change the way you play versus, you know, if you took, I don't know, a horse sedative or something.
You know,
right?
In 1988-89, over the New Year, I was in Hastings playing in a chess tournament in England. And I was in the Open tournament, and there was a super tournament with like 8 or 10 players that were, you know, like top 20, top 30 in the world. And they had a panel discussion where reporters could ask questions to the players. And somebody, this is in 88, and somebody said, so what's going to happen when somebody makes a drug that makes you play better chess? And Bent Larsen, who's a famous player from the 60s, 70s, 80s, he says, oh, they already have that. And the guy said, what is it? And he said, tranquilizers.
Tranquilizers?
Larsen was an unusual guy. He was serious because Larsen probably, I mean, he might play better on tranquilizers because he's a wild and crazy guy. He might have to calm down a little bit. So okay. It could be for him, tranquilizers help because he's so jittery and aggressive all the time. But maybe when you're playing chess, that's probably not good.
Okay.
But
isn't that what?
I mean, you could argue whether there hasn't been a study saying take this drug, you'll play better chess. But some people believe there is a drug for them that will make them play better. And that's, I mean, if you do that, nobody's going to say, oh, you're taking illegal drugs, you're banned. So,
That's interesting. I just can't imagine that it wouldn't. I mean, with all the complex thought that goes into having to be good. I mean, you know how big microdosing has become in the tech community and just in general, with psychedelics being, you know, employed to have greater creative thinking. Now, for a guy who loves languages and enjoys pushing his brain, memory is an important part of that. And I've delved into a few things in my studies to understand how crazy memory champions are doing these things, memorizing incredibly long numbers or completely random things. So I wanted to know, A, chess masters have superior memories. Why and how do they get that? In the moment, essentially, then is the trick. So does he work on his memory, or is he only studying chess? Because I just can't imagine. We lift weights because it helps us run faster and do a whole bunch of things. Right. So we supplement it. Do they supplement? Or do
The Eastern European school of thought in chess, like forever, is to always be in really good physical shape as part of your chess training. So all those guys from the old Soviet Union, Eastern Europe, you know, in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, they were working out all the time to have like a good body so they would play better, which I agree with. I don't know what Fabi's doing, but probably he has people that work for him too. He's probably tested a lot in preparation. Like, do you remember this line? And then he's like, yeah, here. They're like, okay, good. Then they go to something else. Wow. Whether memorizing, having a good memory and non-chess things improves your chess memory is not clear to me. I'm the opposite. I have a very good chess memory and I have a very bad memory when it's not chess. But I mean, like if somebody shows me a game I played 30 years ago and doesn't tell me, I'll be like, oh, that's the game with what's his name. I played that 30 years ago. And they're that's like, how do you know that? Yeah. And I'm like, if you ask me what movie I'm watching, I'm like, I don't know. I forgot.
So we went on to discuss a bit more of a practical natured thing, how you can get better at chess. And of course, the second we start talking about how you can get better at chess. All of those principles, they don't just apply to chess. They clearly apply to all of your life. And it's more of a mentality, which is actually pretty cool.
So this is how anybody should get better. You have to play a lot. You have to love the game and not mind losing so much. And if you lose like 3-4 in a row and you don't want to play anymore, chess probably isn't the game for you. So you have to not mind losing. You have to play a lot. You want to play people who are better than you. You want to analyze your games. And the number one tip for improving your chess by like a chess advice is spend more time thinking about what your opponent is doing and is going to do than what you're doing and what you're going to do. The reason is 95% of, you know, club players, not the top players, spend almost all of their time thinking about what they're doing, and they'd spend almost no time thinking about what their opponent's going to do. And that's how you avoid blundering and making big mistakes, is figuring out your opponent's plan. Mm-hmm. So if you can figure out what your opponent wants to do, and you do things that help you get better at chess, like play a lot, analyze a lot, you can get better. And the main weakness people have is they're always saying, oh, I missed that move that my opponent made. I missed that move. And here's the difference between chess and other sports, including football. Okay. Is if you're playing football and your team is too good compared to the other team. So there's 10 minutes left in the game and you're up 9-0. You're way too good for them. Okay, you can make blunder after blunder. You can kick the ball into your own goal. You can do it again. You can do it again. Then you're going to win. Right. And the same in every sport, like basketball, American football, doesn't matter.
Right.
In chess, you can play like the world chess champion every single move, and then you're completely winning, and then you make a move and you lose. So avoiding making a big, big mistake in one move is how you get better at chess. You have to never do that. Your level of play doesn't have to rise too much. Your level of blundering has to go down, where you make one really bad move. Okay. Just to never blunder. And then if your opponent's better than you and plays better than you and sees more than you, but makes two blunders a game and you make zero, you're the favorite. Because they blunder too much. They get careless. And being careless is really costs you in chess. So it's a very annoying thing to spend so much time on one game and play so well, and one move gives it all away. It's very frustrating.
One of the things and the themes that you're going to see across any sport and any endeavor is that the mentality of the people at the top is very different from the people at the bottom. And he went on to talk about all sorts of things that he can notice in grandmasters and stuff like that. And the mindset is what I was curious about. What he had to say about that was awesome.
A lot of games I do cross comparisons. So poker, for example, one of the greatest players ever, possibly the greatest, but that's arguable, right, was Chip Reese. And Chip Reese said, he died like a few years ago, said, the reason I'm good at poker, said, my A game is really good, but a lot of people's A games are really good. Says, but some people have really bad B and C games when they're not with it. He says, my B and C games are pretty good. So when he's playing badly, he's still playing well. And other people, when they play badly, somehow they go from here like they just can't play anymore. And especially in poker, you can get frustrated. See, in chess, if you get frustrated, it's because you did something dumb. In poker, you can do things right, and the other guy gets lucky in one card, and now you're frustrated. You played the hand right, he played the hand wrong, all the money got in the middle, and then the one card that beat you when you were a 95% favorite, you lose. Now you get frustrated.
Right.
And he was like, when that happens to me, I still play pretty good. Other people, like Phil Hellmuth, for example, he just leaves. He knows he can't play well anymore. Uh-huh. He's like, if I sit here, I'm going to just be steaming. So he just leaves, which is good.
Yeah.
And some people, they can't leave, so they buy in for more and they get madder and madder and they play bad. So being calm is very important in chess.
This dude can play five people in chess without seeing the board. What is going on? How do you do this?
I think about my game sometimes or somebody else's. What's more impressive to the general public is I'm playing blindfolded. So you see the chessboard. You tell me what move you're making, like E4. And then I tell you my move, and you make it on your board. but right. I don't see anything. I'm just doing it in my head.
Yeah.
And I can do several games at a time doing that. I can play five people at once and play five games. And the point is not doing it. The point is doing it well, where my moves are reasonable also. So I've done six several times, but I'm not as young as I used to be. So I don't think I can do six now.
Why is that though?
People said, how do you do that? I'm like, I don't know. I just do it. I don't know how I do it.
One of the cool principles about chess in having to focus on the game is that you have to manage a lot of things that are going on and you can miss stuff. And that's what happens in guys' trainings. And so I noticed this as well. We all have blind spots. And what chess does is make you focus on something that maybe you can't see. You have to worry about these things because there could be a way for you to get way better, way quicker, if only you could see it. You could jump from 1 to 100, but maybe you can't see it. So he had some cool ideas on the importance of a mentor.
A lot of people in chess who are very good, the reason they don't get better is they don't know what their weaknesses are. They need coaches to tell them. So maybe if you're a top soccer player and a couple of people said, hey, you should do this a little bit differently. And you're like, oh, yeah, I didn't think of that. But that is, it's hard to critique yourself. It's not easy.
True, so. True. And some guys get caught up on, and this is a thing in chess, right? Some guys get caught up on a plan that is a doomed plan, and they don't want to give it up. And so there's a story about Cristiano Ronaldo, more or less, and I cannot remember the guy who's credited with doing this, but he loves skills and tricks, and they're a lot of fun, you know. And so when he was a young player at Manchester United, that's what he did. That's what he was. And this guy kind of helped turn his brain towards like, that's great, but we got to win the game because that's what pays the bills. And so we need you to get better at scoring, which he had not the biggest interest in. But once that switch was made, he went from being really fun to watch, kind of scoring some goals, to scoring more goals than everybody all the time, anywhere he goes, right? And so it took that switch, which wasn't coming from him. He had the drive and the desire, but the focus was misplaced. And once it was, then poof, you know, here comes the superstar. So Ben, of course, like the proper grandmaster that he is, tests out his abilities in poker, and he goes to Vegas, and he has a cool story that intertwines with football about that.
I always want to tell this story, but there's never the right forum except this one.
How perfect.
I go to Vegas all the time for chess tournaments. I never just went to Vegas. It was always like a chess tournament.
Okay.
And so I like to play poker and blackjack depending on what year it is. And I'm playing blackjack at the Wynn or the Encore, which is the same thing, but
okay.
You know, they're sister hotels. And I'm playing at a high stakes table and I'm playing the lowest possible stake. And everybody else is playing like for a lot, like what I make in a year. And there's this really, really, I can't say really enough, attractive couple. Too attractive to be like on this earth. And I mean, I don't know who's more attractive, him or her. It was close.
Right.
Anyway, so some guy who was a loudmouth, who had $10,000 rolls all over him, and he was a big guy, and he was always talking nonstop. He said, hey, hey, what do you guys do? And I was like, yes, I want to. And he says, I play for the Netherlands in soccer, and she's like a supermodel, and their boyfriend, girlfriend, and they go to Vegas 6 weeks every summer.
Oh, no way.
And they had plenty of money. They had, you know, they had infinite money.
Sure.
And he was like 6'4" and all muscle. And she was gorgeous. He was gorgeous too.
Right.
And I was like, who are these people? Where do they come from? But yeah, he was a Dutch soccer player. So I guess that's why
you don't know who it was.
No, they didn't say their names. They just said I'm a soccer player and she's a model. And I was like, yeah, I agree with that.
Well, I thought at first, you said he's 6'4". Hair or no hair?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, hair. Oh, yeah.
What color? Like,
blonde hair. They were both blonde. Yeah.
That could be Dirk Kuyt.
This is a long time ago.
It's a long time.
10, 15 years ago.
10, 15 years ago, that puts it around. Yeah. That's
he might have even been retired. I don't know.
Ooh,
but but he wasn't old. He was in his probably in his early 30s, I guess.
Oh, okay.
They were
fascinating. Guys, the footballing world with gambling, and I actually just watched the finally I got around to it. I'm late to the game. The Michael Jordan documentary. Yeah. on Netflix.
No, I knew about him. I have people who know him, and he likes to gamble.
I know.
Yeah, and he gets mad. Like if he plays backgammon or pool and he like loses, he's furious. I'm like, well, you're a basketball player. He's really mad. He gets really angry.
Yeah. You're a basketball
player. Man, Charles Barkley, he said, yeah, I lost about $50 million playing blackjack, but I can afford it. So I'm not like addicted because I can afford it.
Because like, you can afford it?
Yeah.
We are calling on all of you, 11th Commandment investigative team, to figure out who that couple could be. It should not be that hard. I've not yet tried, but I'm wondering if we can figure out who that couple might be and then challenge them to a chess match. Like I did right here. So what you're going to see now is a beautifully played chess match, not ugly at all. Two phenoms in the chess world go at it and talk a lot of shit. So enjoy this. Subscribe if you haven't, because we got more crazy stuff coming. This is very much just the beginning of the madness. And it started like this. We're starting to get here, guys. Things are getting crazy. So subscribe, comment down below. Enjoy me smashing a chess master up and down the chess court, because that's what they call it in my neck of the woods, Kansas. Bruh. How much do you think a grandmaster title would go for on the streets?
Maybe 2 bits. Not much.
two bits. You're under. There you go. All right.
It says you're 400, but that you're severely overrated.
Yeah. All right. Here we go.
I can't believe it's okay. You have good internet itself. You have good internet. Good.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah, this is Sweden. We're, you know.
You got to make a move, dude.
Yeah. I know. I'm just, I want to collect my thoughts here. Is this part of your plan, is to try and rush your opponents? I
thought you said you were going to trash talk, but now you're meeting the king. So,
no, this is part of my plan. I want you, you're about to know that you've just gotten hustled. So I'm going to take all of your points. I just want to make sure I understand. I don't like that I'm white. I don't like that. Can we change that?
The game's going to abort soon if you don't move.
All right. I'll move. Let's start with.
Did you play soccer this slowly?
Yeah, it's methodical.
Yeah,
that made you a little uncomfortable. I can already tell that my first move. Well, this is called the Will John opening. Standard variation. Standard variation. I'm going to go ahead and protect that here.
I played a guy who was smoking a lot of pot once, and he played just the way you did. It's called the Lil John opening. That was
Lil John.
Not Will John, but Lil John.
Well, if you now that you understand that a grandmaster never gives away, how do I want to... Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and I don't like that there. All right. I actually, as a matter of fact, now that I'm sorry?
I coughed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I actually can
I just wonder if you're going to give it away like a Kansas City cheerleader. Let's find out.
Okay. Well, I thought you were going to say the Kansas City Chiefs, because first off, we have the greatest footballing team nation in the world. Now that I'm castled, it's pretty much impossible for you to beat me. From what I can tell,
yeah, I like Pat Mahomes a lot. Yeah.
So I see that you've started a nice little attack here on my castled side.
I'm the best player in my chair.
For now. Okay. So I'm just going to narrate this for you guys that can't see. That was dumb because I've just now pinned your bishop. You're in trouble there. Clearly, I've pinned your bishop. That's perfectly fine. Let's go ahead and move that out there. A little bit of trouble. I blundered. I just blundered a piece.
I got a text from Rihanna. She says, what a beating this is. Wow, that's shocking.
I just blundered a piece, you guys. All right. But that's perfectly fine.
If you're not blundering, you're not trying.
But that's really fine.
That's my queen. Boo.
Oh, you see that? I love when you talk about how people try and make moves and hope that they don't see them. I'm developing what's called... I'm okay with this performance so far. Because the amount of... God damn it. I'm trying to go quick. You've rushed me into... You've rushed me into this.
Yeah. But don't give up soccer. Don't do it.
Okay. Whoa. First off, this is not fair because what I was trying to do, and this is horrible. I'm not this bad and I have nowhere to move anything, but I'm okay due to the fact that you haven't checkmated me very quickly. Oof.
The only thing worse than watching you play chess is watching me play soccer. That's the only thing worse. I didn't tell you a soccer story because I forgot, but you'll like it.
Oh, okay.
In 1988, there was this huge chess tournament in Canada. All the best players in the world, hundreds and hundreds of players. Okay. And we decided to play soccer one day because the Europeans wanted to play soccer.
All right.
So we had the Europeans versus the Americans. So you know who won. And I was the goalie. And I would guess they shot at least 40 shots on goal, at least. And we probably shot one. And we weren't good. And there's a guy named Arthur Yusupov, who's a world championship candidate. And another guy named Valery Salov, who's also a world championship candidate. And they were like a team somehow on the team. They like had played together before. Okay. So they were just shooting it at me like at will. Not you.
Yeah.
Not that will. Anyway, one of the shots Yusupov hit. Yusupov's nickname is the Tank, just so you know.
Okay. So I get
it. He kicked it harder than, you know, like people would kick it like a professional soccer because there's no defense. Mm-hmm. And it hit my leg and bounced off. So he didn't score. Okay. My leg had a mark on it for a week. I mean, and he apologized after. He's like, sorry, this is just a game. I didn't mean to. By the way, I'm sure you know this. There's a guy who was a grandmaster and was on the national team of Norway for soccer.
No, I didn't know that.
He was a striker, Simen Agdestein. Yeah. And he got leg injury, got a leg injury. So he had to stop playing soccer.
How long ago?
30 years ago. He's one of the five best chess players ever in Norway. And he was maybe the best player in Norway in soccer. He was a striker for the team. So he played in like the mid 80s, I would say. Something like that.
He was a chess.
No. At the same time.
At the same time.
He was a grandmaster. He was the best player in Norway, but obviously when Magnus came along, he was Magnus's coach, chess coach when Magnus was a kid.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I mean, I don't know anything about this Magnus character really either. There's so much and like
you've heard of him.
I've heard of him, but it doesn't mean anything to me because it's like it seems like a foreign language, everything that, you know, you guys are doing and up to.
I put a URL in the chat.
Okay.
That's, you can see the, you know.
Oh, you know? Nice. H4.
You put it in H.
I put it in H.
Let's see. How do I mate thee? Let me count the ways. The depth, breadth, and height my soul can reach.
Oh, God. I can't talk. This is part of the thing. This is part of it. This is part of your grandmaster method was that you can talk. It's like, I can't chew gum and walk. That's like this, what we're doing. The amount of effort required for me to pay attention and do it is phenomenal. And talking, this is not representative of my true, probably better than fine gold chess master level. That's
a lot of something.
Wow. I mean,
zero blunders. Good.
Oh, okay. I blundered because I'm not paying attention, though. That's literally because I'm not paying. I'm not
if
paying
you want
attention.
To analyze the game, I can explain what the mistakes were if you're interested.
No, I'm interested, but can we play a give me like a 2 minute game?
We can play again. Yeah.
Give me one more game. Right. And on this game, I'll give you.
You were a good sport. Yeah, you were a good sport. I'm rematching you. Yeah.
This is exactly. Can I not fall?
Now you're black. Now you're
exactly. Yeah. Can I not fall below a 400?
Yeah, losing to me, you're not going to lose points.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
So football career 84 to 92.
The Norwegian dude.
Yeah, 92 appearances for the Norwegian. He played for Lynn Oslo in the Premier League.
Yeah.
92 appearances, 37 goals.
Wow.
In the league. And then What's APPS Cup? APPS.
Appearances?
Norwegian Cup.
Oh.
Six appearances in the Norwegian Cup, six goals.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Yeah. He's a striker.
Yeah, he was a tall, strong-looking person when I saw him. He looked like a soccer player.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he was very tall and looked really – yeah, even the picture of him, he looks pretty tall.
Yeah, legit. Yeah.
Yeah, he's 54 now.
Oh, that's crazy. Is he still involved in all of this?
He does chess coaching and he plays sometimes, yeah.
Wow.
But I think he was Magnus's first coach. By the way, Magnus isn't a bad soccer player.
Oh, really?
Magnus is pretty muscular, and I think he's the most athletic of all the top players. He does a lot of sports all the time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that makes
really
sense.
Really good physical shape.
What was your sport background as you growing up?
I played like all of the sports like for fun, but nothing like organized.
Okay.
So I like to play everything, but I never played on a team like, you know, because I was good. I just played for fun.
I played a lot
of stuff for fun. Probably tennis was the most I played. Because I actually won an intramural match at the university I went to the first round in tennis.
I
haven't played tennis in a while. I play for fun with my wife sometimes.
What, growing up though, how much chess was actually happening?
There was like, a lot of chess happening.
No, yeah, I mean,
our house was just chess.
Yeah, I get it. But like,
I played in tournaments all the time, every weekend I could.
Daily though, your daily structure, what's a training? I know my training schedule.
No, I just like to go to tournaments on the weekends.
No, but what I'm asking is like, what is your daily? What's a daily chess? You know, someone who's taking it seriously. What's their chess schedule?
When I was a kid, I just played for fun. I wasn't like studying all the time.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's different than kids now. I wasn't really good at chess until I was 11 or 12. The first 2 years, I was just bad. I just lost, 80% of my games.
I see.
Now, if you're trying to castle, you cannot. If you were
I
trying
see
to
that play. I cannot, which is terrible, and I don't know why. I have no idea
why.
You
already moved your king, so yeah.
Did I? Oh, I moved my king. Oh, my God, I didn't. See?
Yeah, yeah. You took my queen with your king. I moved four.
I remember, and thanks for four king. But at least in this game, if you do dare take that rook, I will look
I
at
will
some.
I will not take the rook. Oh, that wouldn't be nice to you. That wouldn't be nice to you, so I won't do it.
Well, that's perfectly fine. If I
would never take your rook.
I do not understand. Okay. Not bad. I'm getting me some material.
You know what my two favorite words are?
What's that?
Check.
No. And don't say it. God! Come on. All right. You know what I that's unbelievable.
You played the carnivore defense, but the vegan beat it.
Yeah, well, I wish the carnivore defense had. You know what I was trying to play? Some sort of ridiculous. If I know nothing of openings, truly, really, but the coolest ones all have cool names: Sicilian, London, something. And
system, yep.
You play a lot. You play what? The Sicilian a lot. At least you said that years ago.
Yeah, I play everything, but when I'm black, I play the Sicilian a lot.
When you're black, you play the Sicilian. And you, amongst a bunch of others, have said pretty much you don't need to be messing with the Sicilian until you're a certain level, right?
Sicilian's tough. Yeah.